C'était la première fois que tu lis un score, une partiture dans ton travail?
Non, dans Rodegrans, qui la pièce qui vient avant, on avait déjà travaillé pas avec une partition.
Ouais.
Mais c'était juste deux personnes, c'est juste William et moi.
Ouais.
Et c'était vraiment ma pièce, quoi, en fait. Parce que tout ça, c'est parti du fait qu'en fait, on avait un système de travail qui marchait vachement bien pour nous. C'est-à-dire qu'on est deux et on se vend du temps sans argent. C'est-à-dire, toi, tu as tant d'heures de moi et tu peux faire ce que tu veux avec moi. Et moi, j'ai tant d'heures de toi et je peux faire ce que je veux avec toi. Après avoir travaillé dans des groupes collaboratifs où tout le monde décide tout, enfin, des trucs comme ça, on avait vraiment envie d'être le chef, si tu veux, de notre propre travail. Et c'est ça, c'était un bon moyen de le faire aussi sans argent. Et, et donc, en fait, ça, c'était Rolling Hands, la structure pour ça. Et lui, il a fait une autre pièce qui s'appelle Without You I'm Nothing. Et puis, il y a une autre pièce avant qu'on avait fait. Mais justement, c'était pas de te trouver des structures. Et c'est pour ça que j'ai commencé à faire le truc de score.
C'est vraiment aussi c'était déjà une pratique avant après-midi.
Ouais, mais de juste une pièce en fait.
Ouais.
Avant j'avais pas.
Oui, Holding Hands, ça c'est.
Ouais.
Ah.
De score écrit. En tant qu'écriture, ouais.
Ouais. Ah. Oui, j'aimerais aussi voir que peut-être seulement pour voir comment
Ouais, la partition, attends, je l'ai quelque part. Et je peux la raconter, c'est assez simple en fait.
Oui.
C'est, en fait, c'était parti sur les trois pièces en après-midi, Holding Hands et The Mrs. and Me. Ça part d'une recherche sur les émotions dans le théâtre, c'est-à-dire un peu le truc de pourquoi, comment ça s'est reçu de l'autre côté du mur invisible. Et pourquoi il y a cette espèce d'échange et ces recherches-là. Je voulais savoir, en fait, si on enlève la trame narrative,
qu'est-ce
qui reste et qu'est-ce qui se passe dans les gens qui regardent. Et donc, The Mrs. and Me, c'est que t'as que le rire, c'est que du rire. Et Holding Hands, on a travaillé plein de trucs, des différentes méthodes de représentation des émotions, et de comment faire, comment le travailler, quoi, en fait, et ce que ça donnait. Mais il nous fallait un matériau. On a réalisé, on ne peut pas faire ça sans rien. Il nous faut un matériau. On a pris un air de La Calas de 1964 dans un enregistrement d'elle à Covent Garden. Donc, tu as vraiment son visage, et c'est un solo. Donc, c'est elle, ouais. Et en fait, le score, c'est ça. Et t'as l'ouverture, l'air, l'aria, et les applaudissements à la fin.
Ouais.
Donc, tout ce truc-là. Et donc, le score, c'est... Alors... mouvement de la tête, multiplié par deux sur nos deux visages, sans émotion, sans rien. C'est-à-dire que tu sais pas, en fait, ce que c'est, ce que tu fais.
Ouais.
Et task-based, c'est comme ça qu'on l'appelait.
De
l'ouverture avec les applaudissements. Après, la même chose, mais en entendant la musique dans ta tête derrière, c'est-à-dire que tu es en fait déjà La Calas, que les mouvements de la tête. Après, c'est que les émotions sans les mouvements de la tête de tout l'air. Et après, tu as playback, tout le truc. Des applaudissements aux applaudissements. Voilà, c'est tout simple quoi, comme score en fait.
Ouais.
C'est un peu comme un apprentissage.
Ouais.
Ouais.
Ouais. T'as aussi identifié les émotions que tu lis dans le vidéo parce que
non.
Nommé ou c'est que le double mot quoi. I want to say, were you also interpreting the emotions by saying okay, what is she feeling here? What's the label of this emotion?
We weren't interpreting actually nothing.
Yeah.
We were just taking it from the scores of Verdi and musicologists writing about it, and herself giving. She has also a book on master classes where she also teaches pupils how to do it, and she says also this feeling is this.
Okay.
Like we didn't. There's no. There's no, how to say, there's yeah, no like interpretation of us in there, just from outside.
Yeah, it's like a dramaturgy. You read all these documents only to find out what the emotions are, and then you do this very...
Yeah. Yeah, accurately.
Yes.
Yeah, because it was really like this thing just to do it in order to see what it produces in an audience, so
yeah.
Like it needed to be, and then we also realized that it had to be very naturalistic representation of emotions.
Yeah.
That it couldn't be, it had to be very small in a way,
yeah.
So that it would be interesting, because otherwise it would be only about the representations of it. And,
yeah. So you were not mimicking
it.
Her, you were not looking like Kalas, etc.
Only in the last part.
Only the last part.
And in part two, where it's the head movements.
Yeah. Yeah.
There, yes.
Yeah.
Posture and the...
Yeah. And did you show something in the performance of the video, or was this not included in the frame of your performance?
No. Well, you hear then, it's like a little CD player, and you hear at the end, you hear the big opera house and
yeah.
Clapping and all that.
Yeah.
You hear it.
It's great. Is it still on your repertoire?
Yeah. That's what we're playing mostly, actually. And other people played it too now, and it's great. Petra Sabisch and Sophia New in Montpellier, because I wanted to see, like, and... like if it exists in a detached way of
yeah.
Us, and it actually does, and also how it is to apprenticize it.
Oh. How do you transmit
so that,
it? How do you just give the same
yeah,
documents?
The score, and it's really like, it's just like, actually it's just like learning a piece of classical music, so called. I mean, you know, old, yeah. Like it's really like very stiff at the beginning, and then there's a moment where you can feel it. Where it becomes interesting for the interpreter, but like, before that it's just like, or like, I guess ballet is like this too. But with the difference that anybody can do it, you don't have to have a training of a whole life before.
Yeah. Yeah. It'd be wonderful to see that also.
In May, in Paris. En fait, il faut pas dire aux gens. Si tu viens
bon.
Avec des amis, tu leur dis pas. C'est vachement mieux.
Oui, oui, bon,
le, la partition,
mais...
parce que si tu sais pas ce que c'est,
oui,
t'as le bonbon à la fin,
oui.
Mais en fait, c'est pour ça que c'est assez classique, quoi,
c'est
comme
c'est
dramaturgie
c'est
de la pièce.
Hein?
C'est quand? À Saint-Denis, aux Rencontres.
D'accord.
Et donc c'est mi-mai, je pense. Ouais. Sinon, on le joue à Oslo cet été, et puis, ouais, mais on va le jouer, ça, c'est pas... Ça fait vachement plaisir. Une fois que tu le sais, tu connais le truc, ça fait vachement plaisir à le jouer, de toute façon. C'est juste nous deux, et ouais.
Et cette idée-là d'avoir un score, ça, qu'est-ce que ça... What is it facilitating, the score, for you? Is it more like... A memory tool, or that it's generating composition and more ideas to compose, or
mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Different possibilities.
I think it's because I was like coming from this questioning of a narrative structure as a
yeah.
Something that leads you through,
yeah.
And so. I need to look for something, for other necessities.
Yeah.
Why one thing comes after the other,
yeah.
Which is like often this collage thing that I'm seeing in this in dance pieces or in non-narrative works.
Yes.
It's like, okay, and now it's boring, so now we need a surprise. And then, and like, it wasn't, yeah, like to find something. So then, but from there it then became something about writing, and also something about collaboration.
That's interesting. Can you say something about both the writing idea and the collaboration?
Okay. Yeah, maybe the collaboration first, because it's easier to make the bridge. Because after holding hands, like William was like, okay, it's great, but I would like to do something where I am more involved, where I'm not just like doing what you're saying, telling me to do. Yeah. And so it was like the thing, okay, now we're gonna work on dialogue, not on monologue, and to find a structure for us where we could create two different scores, and also where we could invite people from outside to perform. But also we didn't have money so much, so which meant we can't rehearse with these people. So that was like the frame. And then we said, okay, we're going to do this game. We agree on four, five, I think, ingredients. And with these ingredients, and we agree we do a 60-minute, at this point we're 60-minute performance for four interpreters, and we write a score for two people who interpreted the score. So there's like several levels. There's William and me making a score for two people who make a score for four people who interpret this one.
Really?
So it's like this.
Yeah.
So there's like, it's a huge chain of misunderstandings happening. It's like a little bit like this game, like the whispering game, my dear. Yeah, genau. Yes.
And who were these other two people that you speak about?
That was like us, but we wrote a score that we... There's this score that looks, for me, it looks like this. But I never really finished it. But actually it's like a... was supposed to be like, anybody can have this, take this and do it. Yeah. And something completely different than Un après-midi would come out.
Yes. This was the first score you and William made.
Yeah, this is my version. And
your version.
Yes. And his version is a big book with drawings. And you flip through the book.
Yeah.
And yeah, me. It's in German. So you have to take find a photograph, and then on this photograph you have to make a drawing of a path, and then this gives you parameters where when you cross something on the photograph, you change something in the action. You go somewhere else in the score, and so on. But you could choose any photograph that you wanted. I mean, I chose one, and c'est un peu genre labyrinthique quand on n'est pas dedans et d'expliquer.
Maybe I'm confused because it's two people, four. But so, can you put the names on it? The first two people are?
William Wheeler and Antonia Baer.
They make a score.
They make a score. This, yes, they make this. Antonia Baer made this, and William Wheeler made a book.
Yes. This, good, yes.
Then, this can be taken by anybody. And transformed into another score,
yes,
which then ends up being
a piece of
recordings on mini disc for four interpreters.
Yes.
In both cases, in William, my score is the result. But this two people can be anybody,
yeah.
And in this case, it was us.
Okay.
In this case, basically, we chose my score because we didn't have time to do William's too.
Yeah.
It was only mine. And then my score.
Ah, interesting. So it would be like you made a drawing, two.
Yes.
And then this goes into two. Yeah?
Uh-huh.
Two people making mini disc versions.
Mm-hmm.
How many?
Four mini discs
each.
But actually, it's two and two.
Yeah? Yes. Okay, and then this is.
Then the four interpreters come.
Yeah. Okay. So. This is the seed, because William's book was the line that you knew.
Yeah, yeah.
So this is the in the Darwinism of collaboration. This is the the survival of the fittest. This was a very fit element. I guess so, yeah. Okay. And it's a CD-ROM.
It's just a CD. It was, well, in a finished, as in a, I wanted to do it as a nice object at some point, but it would include the music, like the ingredients basically that you would have to take to make the score, which is the Jamie Lee Dell interpretation of an après-midi de foule,
yeah.
Debussy, like, which is already also a filtering of the music piece, which had like this guy like called Christian van Doris made a CD where he asked lots of musicians to make a piece based on an après-midi de foule, but they had to use the whole piece. That was the thing. So, for example, Albin Lucier, I don't know if you know him. Albin Lucier, it's great. He put it in aphoras, in like, dans des vases grecs. Avec des haut-parleurs, et puis après il a pris avec des microphones, donc ça te donne un espèce de truc complètement différent de l'original, mais c'est vraiment comme un paysage. Quoi. Enfin,
tu dis
Alvin Lucier.
So, in your first score, you give the first instructions, and one of them is use a version of this après-midi.
Yes.
And they have a choice between several versions of it, or is it this
it's
version?
This, me, I said this one.
Okay,
great. I said this. Then there was Cage, this from the songbook, number 3, which is a map. Basically, it's all about like landscapes. So Debussy is about landscape, and Jamie's interpretation was also landscape. And so it's a map. And it's actually for a voice normally, like Cage would say, and you have to draw a route on the map, a way, and if you cross the river, the interpreter should change the quality of the voice. There's different, like for example tone, or and if it crosses a road, it needs to change in amplitude and things like that. So then you have like.
And how do you make the line? Is it at random also?
Yes, that's the performer can do.
Yeah.
I think. Or did he give it? See.
And or you let a thread fall on the map and.
This one is pretty much really like a it's really like a way that you walk through the map.
Yeah.
And it gives you the parameter
And in this case, you asked it to apply to what? To the music again, or to a performance element, or?
In this case, it was and then the photo roman.
True.
Photo is also an ingredient that you had to use from the Bravo, about like coupling.
That's how they call the Bravo.
Coupling stories, very banal. So you had to use these things.
These three things.
Yes, and so then you. Yes, you find a photograph that goes, I think, to the, if I know it by heart, more or less like this. But you find a photograph that goes to the music, I think, or something like this. And then you make a pass on this, and you make several paths on this photograph.
Mm-hmm.
And then this path gives you the parameters, it's the timelines, basically.
Yeah.
Zero, like zero is here, and then 60 is here, minute 60, because you decide that it's going to be. So it's like this.
Yeah.
So one is for the emotions, one is for the positions, one is for the speaker, like who should read the mini disc, like William or me, and and so then like the first version of an après-midi that we had, the 60-minute one, was like we didn't try to influence the dramaturgy at all.
Yeah.
What I mean by that is like if it's thrilling or not to watch, was really like just this, okay, we crossed the green bush, so then we have to do emotion, la la la, and the position, photo roman position is this one, and you know, like this.
Can you demonstrate that with materials? Or is that?
Yeah, totally.
Great. to what you just said, because I'm following your...
Another one. So this is the photo I chose. Another interpreter could choose another photo.
That's your free to do.
That's my après-midi la faune interpretation.
And it needs to be a photo of landscape.
No, it doesn't say that. Okay. No.
Okay.
And this is what... the score.
How do you make that?
That's score number one. Yes, it's like... See, it was 75 minutes actually at the beginning. Okay, so long ago, I have to reconstruct.
Oh, this is so good.
So this is the one. Findet eins oder zwei Farbfotos zu erinnern. Voilà, so find a photo, so that's step one. And then, what? Weg 1 und 2 for one person. Go one way through the picture. How do you move? What is your goal? And how big are you? And what are you? And draw it on paper over the way.
So all these things you can decide.
Yes.
Nice. So you chose here to be...
Like it's longer, I'm not translating everything.
Yeah.
So the way one and two is for emotions.
Yeah. But also emotions that you can come up with yourself.
No. No, you have to just... emotions and micro movements. So that's the line of the emotions and micro movements. It just means that every time there's a dot, the emotion changes.
Yeah.
And every time there is a...
But then what it's changing into, you can name that. Say like, okay, it's going from rage to love, or where is that coming from?
I think that comes from the fotoroman.
Okay.
And the intensity, also there's like things that tell you the intensity and the dynamic. See, it's like, it's a little bit long ago, but it was all, we did it all very accurately.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
I don't remember.
Can you read some emotions on this line? Do you recognize your handwriting?
No, that says eucalyptus, holz, farm, blumen, holz, farm, because it was an analysis of the vegetation.
Okay. And then after
that would tell
you the emotion.
And this is camera movements that will tell you also.
Yeah. It's beautiful.
Raumton. So that's about the sound you hear in the space, the four CD players. Yeah. This line. And that's when the CD comes in from Debussy.
And you made this totally by yourself in isolation. You didn't practice, so you didn't give it. Yeah, you were really making it at your desk.
This?
Yes.
Good. Yeah. But then, this step comes after is translating this into a timeline.
It's really the same.
That's
thing.
The same thing. That's exactly the same thing.
So amazing. This is so beautiful.
So, emotions are. Now I know. Yes, because you have emotion cards.
Yes. See, I knew it. I knew you the cards. This special system, no?
Yes.
Of the scientists.
All these things. And it's so good to ask this question, like, you know, now it's just about presenting it all the time.
Yes.
So you completely forgot where it came from. Yes, these are the emotion cards.
And so I take, for example, the emotion card tenderness. And it has a description, very precise. Keep this pose. You are relaxed. Your breathing is very even and regular and very slow. All your muscles are very relaxed, but you keep the pose. Your attitude is one of approach. Your face is very relaxed. Your mouth is almost closed. You relax. Your relaxed lips form a smile. Start softly touching, caressing, and sensing with your fingers. Tilt your head slightly to the side. Keep performing this pattern increasingly in intensity in your breathing and face. Relax more and more. Who made this text?
Ah, yes. So that is from a book called Acting Reconsidered.
Yeah.
And it's an acting method called ALBA emoting.
Yeah.
And or the emotion, the effector patterns of emotions. The effector patterns of emotions.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's like this kind of pseudo-scientific method that they made so that there would be an alternative to method acting. So that actually the actor doesn't need to feel anything in order to play Shakespeare.
No. So it's totally mechanized.
Yeah, it's really funny. But the problem was in holding hands, like I took this method acting
already
course, to, yeah. And it was not working for this kind of work where you have to be like, you don't have the story to lead you, you can't prepare.
Yeah.
And this thing actually worked for us.
So you're saying that in holding hands, you were already using some of this material.
Yeah.
Reference, and there it didn't work.
It did work. Yes. Yes. Method acting didn't work.
Oh, method acting. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, like as an amateur, you know,
and
I just took one course.
You didn't,
I just had this book.
You didn't add anything?
No.
It's so weird. It's so interesting that this will make you signal tenderness. If you're really strict,
yeah,
it looks like tenderness.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Do people really work with it? I mean,
yes. There's, and then I went in the net and there's actually like workshops and people that pay the money to do it and degrees and I don't know in this ALBA emoting, but it's all in America, so I didn't.
Yeah.
And also like patent, like that they should know that I'm doing this because I could get in trouble.
Yeah,
maybe.
It's very nice.
Look, we're covering the microphone, aren't we?
So
I'm here still, ne?
Ça correspond à quoi, Antonia, ces petites choses qui t'épatent?
Ah ouais. Alors ça, c'est ouais, position... ça, c'est l'écriture de William. Donc, il a dû choisir quelques positions. Et lui, enfin, ça, c'est marrant aussi, tu sais, parce que... Après, bon, là, t'as les émotions, donc.
Mm-hmm.
Et ces espèces de couleurs, ça représente les dornbusches, les eucalyptus gna 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 que t'avais vu là-bas. Et ça, c'est l'intensité. Donc bleu, B2, c'est-à-dire c'est eucalyptus, et donc c'est cette carte. Donc il faut lire cette carte. Et l'intensité, c'est dans les, c'est là qu'il faut dire, donc degree machin. Donc là, c'est un degree 0.2, and this is a bigger degree. And here you have the positions. And they actually change following a curve. Like it's stills, it's photoroman stills, but like they increase in speed following a curve. So
oh,
it's
you
3 minutes.
Goes, it's accelerating.
Yeah, yeah.
From first it's a
yeah,
long pulse, short pulse, short pulse.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is like really like this, you know?
Yeah.
Because it's this score, this thing, this score, but this is a different type of score if you want.
Yeah.
Because it's more like a graphic score that you transpose in.
And where did you
time.
Take that from? This choice to accelerate and... I want to see how much you got from systems and how much was then, okay, let's do this, maybe...
There was a reason. Yeah, see, here you can see the curve. What was the reason?
It's drama. This is drama. This is the basis of drama to build up to a climax, and then it's, and then yeah. So funny. This is the dramatic line. This is the more effective. Yeah.
Yeah, and it doesn't coincide. It doesn't.
No.
Was it deliberate, or did I have some kind of reason coming from somewhere? And then actually I started, when presenting it again, shortening it.
Yeah.
And taking some decisions.
Yeah.
But not many.
Yeah.
Because anyway, it didn't work. It was really funny because like people always said like, oh yes, the beginning is very boring, and then there's this great moment where they touch each other, and it's so amazing, and it's really like the climax of the piece. And then you're like, well, they don't touch each other every time we do it. It's always different.
Yeah.
So in a way, it makes sense not to try to to guide it.
Yeah. What decisions did you make when you said I made some decisions after, like, for example, shortening it, but what other decisions?
There I were... put the fast part, this one. I put it towards the end, so it's more like a classical dramaturgy.
Yeah.
So it's like slow, very, very slow, and then it goes fast, and then there's two slow positions again.
Yeah. Like a coda, the last
two. Yes, then there's a coda, yeah.
Yeah. That's nice. It's
and this really made people angry.
Why?
Because it was slow. Fast. And then somehow it went slow again.
Yeah.
For a longer time, you know?
Yeah.
And it's really not classical.
Yeah.
And so people really... And it's so funny when people are not... They don't get the conventions there. It builds up anger.
Yeah.
It's very interesting to see this.
Yeah.
And then I couldn't deal with this like anger thing all the time.
Yeah.
And explaining.
Yeah.
Too much explaining was needed.
Yeah.
So.
Was it for you ever a point in telling that? When you announce the piece, or people go and see the piece, that this piece is actually an interpretation of a score?
Yes.
Or did you not want to...
I do it all the time,
all
except
the time.
In Valenciennes, I don't know what.
Yeah.
I forgot.
Yeah, that's why I asked. There was no mention of this. It was taken from score, or with the use of a score.
I don't know what happened. I forgot.
Yeah. So this is not, it was
which
really,
changed everything. Just a little thing that you do, the introduction, changed the whole reaction of the audience.
Yeah.
Then in Montpellier,
fine,
it was great. Like the discussion had a completely different tone after.
Yeah.
It's so funny.
Yeah.
This little...
What would explain that again?
I think it's like, when you drink, you know, one time I had this glass and I thought it's water, I wanted to drink, and then it was actually like really fine white wine.
Yeah.
But since I was thinking it was water, it tastes like piss.
Okay.
Maybe it's like this, no?
Yeah.
You kind of need to know a little bit what you're gonna get.
Yeah.
Or what you wanna get. Or
you
what
feel you're fooling them. Like, oh my god, we read all these things into it, and then she comes and says, hey, this is just a score, or, I mean, or I don't know what could be behind these people. Try to...
But more important than saying that it's based on the score is that it's not rehearsed and that it's every night different.
Yeah.
So that neither me nor the audience have a control on...
Yeah.
In the sense, I don't know, I have it formulated very clearly, but that we're all of us are witnessing of what is going to happen here for the first time in this form. So this that way they are more like as if they would witness a car accident, or you know, or just be des témoins de quelque chose, tu vois. et de pas ce truc, bon, on va voir la pièce, alors là c'est un peu chiant, puis là c'est bien, puis là, je me suis vraiment emmerdée, ta. Mm-hmm. Et d'être plus comme ça, ah ouais, oh, tiens, c'est marrant, c'est ça. Et ça c'est important de... Ouais.
I see why you started working with the score, because of this collaborative aspect that your partner said, okay, now I want something again that we more share. But somehow it doesn't explain why you were so consistent with the score, and because it could have started with just really working a bit with scores and then finding a common ground and developing. But this became with a strong rigor, strong consistency, and why is that? What?
I mean, well, I think the more you take the problem seriously,
yes,
the more decisions you have to make.
Yeah.
It's like a micro. If the more you go into the details of.
Yeah.
The atoms, the more actually there's possibilities.
Yeah.
And yeah. Like, so, and also for William to do this. Well, the thing was that then actually the concept was that we would do both pieces.
Yeah.
His score also.
Yeah.
So since this didn't happen because of time and other things. It still became my piece, but still, him as an he had this also, and from this he had to make a 2-minute discs.
Yeah.
And actually, if you take it very seriously, you realize that there's a lot of decisions that you make. So that's also, if you like talking in terms of collaborative creativity of people, I think it is. You know,
okay.
And it's also like when you, as an interpreter, as you were, you have like this super, super precise information of things you to do. And in a way, it gives you a lot of the possibilities of how to bend your... What does it mean, bend your arm? Everybody knows what bend your arm is, but nobody knows what bend your arm 25% is. Then you get in trouble, and everybody know, like, if you say someone do the bird, it's do the bird, or you know, but like then when you go into this breeze degree 2 in a scale of the from 0 to 10 in a saccadic movements and bend your arm 25%, then even if you had time to think about all these decisions you could make, that there would be tons of decisions to make, and you can see also that the people react differently, do it differently. So in terms of, that's what I want to say, like in terms of collaboration and freedom, because when we talk about collaboration, oftentimes we have this back thoughts about freedom of people involved in the back. Yeah. And that, so that's like,
this is a translation of the thing on this. So
this is the master plan.
This is the master plan
for the making the yes.
And this is one translation, and then when you translate this to mini discs, how is that working?
Yes. So this is your timeline.
Yeah.
So it goes. It follows side 1 and 2 is somewhere. Anyway. And then we did these things to hide. So you know, like, I'm going to do mini disc A.
Yeah.
So I'm hiding so I can concentrate everything else away. So I have only this line, and this line, and this line. Yes, and this line. And so there I am. I have my stopwatch, my mini disc, my microphone. Four pennies and rice kernel. The Bravo positions, which is already transposed. So William chose, that's how you see also, William chose to do it this way, to do this method in transposing the Bravo. So you have like left, right, right, left, and pointing, and this is the weight, actually, the arrows. And it gives you a completely different effect. I can see when it's interpreted that it's like it becomes much more like much more like this. And my thing is completely strange, twisted bodies it becomes.
It's these two mini disc versions.
This is basically, see, I'm like trying to, this is when I'm doing the recording now, the mini disc.
Yeah.
So I'm so these are the ingredients that I have around me.
Yeah.
Ah, here. See, this is how I transcribed the photo roman.
Oh.
And this is how William did it.
These are your drawings?
Yes, I use this.
Yeah.
And he used this sign system.
Yeah.
So basically the whole score goes like this, and then since it's on transparent papier, like this. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's somewhere there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So if you were doing this, then 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 this, and after a while you were doing this, then this, then this, then this.
The other way around.
Yeah, but also gespiegelt. Mirrored.
Mirror. Can I see? Yeah, I recognize some of it. I'm so embarrassed that I did way too much. I didn't get the thing with the scale, the intensity, and I really thought, oh, this is so baroque, but I'm needing to do this on the scale, and but then after a while, suddenly I thought, no, this is really a micro scale. It's very subtle changes. It's like very how would I say? It's very minimal.
But you were great.
I was totally maximum.
Leafy.
Maximum.
Incredible.
It was not minimal. And I love minimalism.
Miriam was so incredible because she has this maxi brain. So she was like doing all these things. It gives you too much things to do. And at the same time thinking about what the piece is about.
Yes. Yeah, I was multitasking. I think I had three levels in my head. One doing the movement, another thinking, what is this piece about? Yes, it's interesting. And now it's okay, yes, it's Nishino. And the third level was, but I'm really over-dramatizing this is the judgmental level or something.
Because supposedly, like, it gives you too much to do. Trop de... T'as trop d'instructions en fait, donc t'as pas le temps de prendre des décisions conscientes.
D'accord.
Mais avec Miriam, ça marche pas. Parce que Miriam, elle a trop de. Son cerveau est trop.
Non, I'm so used to following instructions by people saying you have to put your coccyx more down to the floor and your left hip bone is 10 centimeters, blah blah. So. I was so familiar with it, so familiar. The only thing that didn't match my experience so far was that it that there were mistakes in your
that we did mistakes.
Yes, that you used that you used anatomical parts that I've never heard of.
Ah yes, but.
This comes
our Latin something. Is bad. Yes, it's like sometimes you have to throw. See when there's a rice corn on the anatomical parts.
You see, yeah.
And it's our so they have this the face.
It goes on. I think.
And this and it's, I think it's because we yeah. Or it must be.
That's where it became science fiction, huh? Like use your musculus antedes of your. It's a woman. It shows anatomy of a woman. very interesting because we were all men.
It's true. Antonio. I think at this point when we did that, we didn't know it yet.
We didn't know yet who would do it.
Yeah, it's true. Yes, and then there's all that, huh? But up to now, it's quite a formal composition with some weird things, because it's emotions from this weird emotion technique, and it's using photo novel. But then this other step when you start working on queerness, or saying it should be this kind of people or people mm-hmm. who become drag kings, this is another level, this is another...
For me it's embedded somehow.
Yeah,
because it was like, okay, the thing of working about dialogue and how to do that somehow. Yeah. And this stuff is just like... screamingly heteronormal.
Yeah.
And I think, okay, that's really me.
Yeah.
Like choosing this was in contrast to colors. Also, William, we wanted to do something like really from another, not the big opera and the high art thing, but like really cheap and
colors?
You know, colors.
Colors,
The other one was monologue and opera, so and big emotions. And this is emotions, but it's like
the pop version.
Pop version, very cheap, yes. And it's super, it's all this like heteronormal cliches.
Yes, that's true.
So this, and also it was because then we were thinking, okay, who should do it? And it was such a formal piece that really smelled like you need to do it in your normal everyday clothes.
Yeah.
And then since like we always, William especially, I mean, we never have like normal everyday clothes. Rarely, we don't really drop this thing.
It's so a contradiction to speak about normal clothes.
Yeah, and you know, like in the videos where we wear the guinea pigs, like there's like William with a pink little thingy there, and me with like some... We wear in our everyday clothes, but it didn't work that way. It didn't look normal. So then we were like, okay, so let's go for the normal thing then. And then we like the same concept as I did in reproduction. Actually, it's like to portray the male colleagues when they try to look normal on stage, like Xavier and Jérôme Bell and Tino when he's not naked, and you know, like there's a certain type of trying to look normal on stage as white male in European dance. So we studied them.
What did you find out?
Yes, and then for reproduction, we studied them too a lot. Like, it was really fun. We took a lot of photos. All the boyfriends had to give the clothes. Yes. But that's how, like, when it works, that's why for reproduction, it was very important to me that it's like this, because it really works as how the gaze of the male audience changes. Yeah. Like, I was sitting sometimes beside, like, some guys, and they were, like, looking like this. And as soon as they saw that it's women, they were, like, after their bats, and
even so. Even nothing else changed, except that... I haven't seen the piece.
You haven't seen the piece yet.
Comment vous avez travaillé avant, tu disais?
Ben en fait, Esther, elle avait vu en fait un après-midi. Puis l'idée de déshabits, si tu veux, de l'habillement, ça l'avait vachement intéressée pour ce projet reproduction, quoi. Parce qu'à l'origine, elle voulait faire avec 8 hommes et 8 femmes. Et donc, déjà, budgétairement, ça l'arrangeait vachement de travailler sur ça. Et puis, après, elle m'a demandé. Donc, en fait, j'étais un peu genre gender consultant, quelque chose comme ça. Puis après, on s'est rendu compte au fur et à mesure du travail que c'était assez technique quand même et que c'était plutôt une question de costume. Ouais. Et toute la deuxième partie, c'est elles qui l'ont faite. C'est moi j'aurais pas fait comme ça, tu vois, j'aurais pas, j'avais pas vraiment besoin qu'on voit que c'est des femmes, que mais après elles le jouent vachement maintenant, tu vois, tout a fait sens, mais au début c'était pas encore c'était pas.
Mais
toute la première partie, tu vois, toute la première partie, c'est basé à fond sur un après-midi en fait.
D'accord.
Enfin les costumes et les mouvements.
Vraiment?
De passé, ouais.
Alors c'est il y a there's a big link.
There's a big link and at the same time not at all because. Originally, it was not based at all on desire reproduction of the interpreters. Yeah. And an après-midi, which is really important, is always based on the desire of the interpreters. Yeah. Of both desire, like to be told for half an hour in your life what to do, which is really important, and to really have the desire to follow that strictly, and not to punk around and not to make the revolution, but really like the desire. The desire, it's not just, okay, I'm fine with it, but to have the desire.
Yeah.
And to have the desire to dress up as a man.
Yeah.
Having lived as a woman for some time in your life, which I had to add, because in Leipzig one time it went, it went kind of, there was a big éclat. Yes, because I casted some people, and the programmer casted some people, and so it was two and two, and I casted them through the Drag Kingdom, which is a web for drag kings to find each other and stuff like this. And so it said like who has the desire to be a drag king, because I didn't think about, for me it was fine if you're a man or not, you can be still a drag king if you are a man, like at that moment. And then she had one guy and one woman, and the guy actually had this mustache that he always thought was looking fake because it didn't have the same color as his hair. And then he had this really great desire that he had a friend with a mask making, qui fait du maquillage, to transform him into a drag king. So to make it so that the mustache looks completely fake, make a lot of powder and stuff or something. And so, but they arrived there, and then there was like this big éclat. The two like dykes from the drag kingdom who were like really political were like, I'm not going to do this with a man, and it's not.
I don't want to be in here with a man.
Yeah, yeah. And drag king is not for men. And then they made this point that it's actually about power and reappropriation of power and all that. So I kind of agreed.
Yeah.
Yes, because
so what are you exactly agreeing with? If you would describe it,
because they were saying that drag kinging, it's a question of definition basically.
Yeah.
It's
a
reappropriation of a power position, of the male power position. So in order to do that, you have to have experienced the other position.
Yes.
So you can be a transgendered. You can be but you have to have lived as a woman for some time in your life, basically. You don't have to be a biological woman. But you have to have experienced
this position.
Yeah, because it's a re-empowerment.
Yes.
It's a reappropriation of the male power.
Yeah.
So that's why then I clarified it like this.
Did you feel afterwards it was important that women share this vision? Or is it just the desires that are important? Okay, you desire to stick to a score and you're fine, and you desire to dress like a man, or...
Ah, but then after, and in the garderobe and after, there's always talks about basic, like it becomes kind of political every time, or personal, or, and that's the nice part. But I don't force it.
No.
And also about being told what to do.
Yeah.
Which like has to do with SM without using any imagery of SM.
Yeah.
But like politically or philosophically, there's a lot, I think, related to that thing.
That's interesting. So you put yourself in the dominatrix as a choreographer or as a maker of the piece.
Ah, yes. Yeah, right.
And you look for masochistic people who have the desire to follow you, whatever you ask them, they don't know. It's SM.
Yes, yes. Yeah. It's true.
But of course, as with all master-slave relationships, the master is really dependent of the slave, you know.
Yes, and vice versa.
And vice versa.
Yes, and I think, but also, if, I mean, one thing is also it, like now we're representing a remix of Henry Wild.
Yeah.
So it's not my score anymore, exactly. Yeah. It's a remix of our score made by Henry Wild.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I am the presenter and not exactly also the writer of this
yeah.
thing.
Yeah.
And but also like, yeah, and for me, it's I like to express these things like so clearly. To say like yes, I like to direct. I like to be
in control.
In control, yes. And I like to be controlled too.
Yeah.
I like to be told by William exactly what to do,
yeah.
and I like to do this to play this myself if, or things like this. And it's, I think the background of all this is like the
yeah.
where we came like this collaboration thing.
Yeah.
You know, like work in a group where everybody decides everything. and really like the more it goes the more I like to research forms that are different than this one, the egalitarian
yeah.
thing, but like still are not just the classical model where you there's the dancer who has the job and like for making money does the job and the choreographer who is the domina but tries to not to show it and not to say it. That she likes to have the control because it's not okay to say it so loud. And
there is an economical contract where you make
yeah.
it into a sexual. I mean, there's a sexual model behind it, which is interesting because with all good sex, you have somehow an agreement. Yeah? But the agreement can be you dominate me, okay, and then we change roles. And this is exactly the model of your collaboration. You can alternate who is the one telling the other what to do, and
yeah.
the agreement is that it can switch. So there's, again, something symmetrical in this, or it becomes
mm-hmm.
more...
But you say, like, in the economical,
with
traditional...
With the other things, like choreography, working with dancers, and somehow bossing them around, but on the other hand, feeling bad about it and trying to make it nice and give them the idea that they have some things to say too, you know, that they can contribute themselves to. I feel that underneath it's an economical model of labor and buying labor
mm-hmm.
and making just good humanistic conditions
mm.
and doing human resource and personal